Welcome to the Copy Dates podcast. I'm your host, Megan Taylor, copywriter, bookworm, and founder of the Copy Template Shop. I believe that anyone can write strong copy, and I'm here to teach you how to write words that sell your online offers while prioritizing real connection, serving your audience, and simply being who you are. I know you have a message that deserves to be heard and unique skills that need to be shared. And in each episode, I'll give you an actionable tip so that you can write better copy, reach more people, and sell your offers in an easy and authentic way. So grab a hot drink and get ready to cozy up with your weekly dose of magnetic messaging and captivating copy. Hey, friends, and welcome to the last episode of 2021 of the Copy Dates podcast. I can't believe we're here. I can't believe the year is over. Part of me feels like it went by in a blink, and part of me feels like it dragged on for 5 years. But we're here, and we made it. This is episode 36 of the podcast, which we only launched in June. So 36 episodes in 6 months. I cannot freaking believe it. Just on a slightly sentimental note, if you would have told me 12 months ago that I would be wrapping up the 36th episode of this podcast, I probably wouldn't have believed you. In December of last year, this podcast was all but a vision and a dream and something that I thought I would maybe do one day, but it's here. We've done it. And for those of you who have been listening since we launched in June, I know that I've heard from some of you recently who just discovered the podcast in the last couple of months, but you've binged every single episode, which is just incredible to me. I can't believe you've heard me talk for that long. I can't even listen to myself talk for that long. I'm so grateful for you. I'm incredibly grateful for this community. I have made no secret of the fact that 2021 has been a very difficult year for me on a personal level. My business has thrived. But me as an individual, I have also thrived. I have also grown, but through hardship and through sadness. And there's just been a lot that's gone on this year. But having this community, and especially when I hear from you and you tell me how much of an impact this podcast has had, it truly, truly means the world. So thank you so much for listening. I hope 2021 was a great year for you and that you can reflect on everything that you've achieved and the person that you've become over the last 12 months. And I hope that you can bring that spirit into 2022, not just your ambition. You know, ambition is so important. Plans are so important. Goals are so important. But also, you know, that reflection piece and that slow and steady recognition of, sure, maybe you have so far to go, but look at how far that you've already come. So thank you for hanging out with me here. I imagine this is going to be a slightly shorter episode, perhaps fitting for the end of the year, because I just have one big tip to share with you today. In case you've missed it, over the last couple of episodes, I have been sharing some tips on how you can really set yourself up for your best launch ever in 2022. And don't worry, I'm going to keep the launch content coming in Q1 of 2022. We're just going to be talking launches, 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 sales copy, all that fun stuff. If there's anything in particular you would love to hear me talk about, please don't hesitate to reach out. But this is the final part of this little, I guess, mini series where we are talking about the three different stages of your launch strategy and your launch planning. So far we have talked about what you can do before you launch to set yourself up for success. And we've also talked about what things you can do during your launch to really optimize things for connection and for conversions. So last week we touched on, you know, how you can inject some of that into your creation phase when you're actually coming up with all of your launch collateral. But we also talked about how to keep yourself nimble and flexible during the launch process itself so that you can really make sure that you're continuing to put your community and your audience first. And today we are going to touch on what I would argue is the most skipped over part of a launch, yet one of the most crucial, which is what we can be doing after the launch to continue setting ourselves up for success. So instead of launching your offer, celebrating all of the money, hopefully, that you made and all of the lives that you're about to impact and touch, and then diving straight into actually delivering that program, making sure that we set aside some time to actually analyze what went well, what didn't go so well, what improvements we can make next time. So I want to tell you a little bit based on my experience, what we should be paying attention to so that your next launch, whether it's of this same offer or a completely different offer, is going to be even better than before. My biggest piece of advice there is to collect all the data you possibly can. Whatever information that you have available to you, collect it, put it somewhere safe, even if you're not analyzing all of it right now. Collect all of the data that you can from your email provider, from your Google Analytics, from whatever it may be. But then set aside some time for you, or ideally if you have a team, for you and your team to actually go through those numbers. Take a look at what they actually mean and take some time to learn from it. So, for example, I have mentioned it probably pretty consistently throughout these last few episodes, but I also do launch management for one of my clients. And so one of the most important things that we do is we actually collect a whole bunch of data both during and after the launch. So we're constantly looking at things like our open rates and our click rates. Again, you know, that during, we have to be adaptable. We have to be flexible. If we're realizing, oh my gosh, nobody is opening our emails, we can troubleshoot why. So we're actually collecting that data during our launch as well. But then in particular, after the launch, we really set aside time to collect all of the information we possibly can. And then within a week of the launch wrapping up, and it's really important to do this, you know, sooner rather than later after your launch, I look through all of that data and I conduct what we call a post-mortem, which sounds kind of morbid. I guess it's a morbid term. I'm not sure where we took it. Maybe we took it from the tech and SaaS world, but basically it's just a document where we put in, you know, all of the context from the launch. So here is what we did. Here's how long the cart was open. Here's how many sales emails we sent. Here are any messaging changes that we made. Here are the results. You know, here, this is how many people received our emails. This is what our average conversion rate was. This was our most successful day. And then we look deep into those numbers and figure out, okay, what did they actually mean, right? What did we do well? And on the back of that, what should we continue doing? So it's not just a matter of saying, this is what worked. This is what didn't work. Make suggestions for yourself and for your team on the back of each of that. You know, what did we do well? And therefore, I suggest we continue doing this. We didn't do this so well. And so this is how I suggest improving that next time. Because then as you go in to sit down and plan your next launch, you can look at all of that information and you already have all of these suggestions ready to go. I know that there are so many things that you can look at, right? So really pay attention to what you feel like you need to know. And, you know, if you were testing anything out, or if the team tried something new this time around, or if you hired a copywriter or you hired a designer, you want to see, you know, did the copy resonate? Did the subject lines work? You know, were my open rates better? If it was a designer, you know, how did people interact with the sales page? That's where a tool like Hotjar can really come in handy. You can see how people were interacting with your page. So anything that you really want to know and that you are curious about, make sure that you are looking at that. But here in general are a few of the things that I recommend really looking closely at in a launch postmortem and why they're important. It's no secret that one of the best ways to build hype for your upcoming launch is to use a waitlist. Waitlists offer you a great way to fill your email list with potential buyers who are not only a great fit for your program, course, or offer, but who are also already excited to buy. But a really effective waitlist page does a lot more than simply ask for your email address. That's why I created the waitlist page copy template. More than an opt-in form, but less than a sales page, this template helps you create a waitlist page that attracts perfect fit clients and ensures you're building an email list full of qualified leads so that you have a group of ready-to-buy people in your community come launch time. You can find it in the copy template shop at copytemplateshop.com under the sales copy category. That's copytemplateshop.com. The first thing that you can look at was how many of the people who purchased this offer were repeat customers versus new buyers. Okay, how many of the people who joined my program have worked with me before or have purchased one of my products before versus how many of these people converted for the very first time? That is really, really crucial information to know because you might notice a trend. Right? We notice that for us, for this particular client, whenever we do postmortems, it's pretty consistent. We have 3 times higher conversion rates amongst our repeat customers than we do amongst new buyers. It's just really helpful information for us to know because sometimes then maybe we will send a special sales email just to people who have bought from us before. Maybe we'll offer them like a little incentive, right? Because we know that they're more likely to convert. Or on the flip side of that, maybe we have to provide an incentive for new buyers because they're less likely to convert. So how can we change and adapt our strategy to make sure we're converting more new people and not just repeat clients? Because if you're constantly converting repeat customers, but struggling to convert new buyers, you're eventually going to run out of offers probably to sell them, right? All valid information for you to know that's really going to impact your launch strategy and your business strategy going forward. I also recommend looking at how many buyers were warm leads versus cold leads. So on average, you know, the people who joined your program during this launch, how many of them have been hanging out in your world for a while versus how many of them are brand new to you? So one of the easiest ways to identify this is look and see when they joined your email list. And if you can, look and see how they joined your email list. There was a big difference between somebody who joined your email list 4 months ago from a freebie opt-in versus somebody who joined your list 1 week ago from a Facebook ad. That's why setting these things up on the back end is so important. Really tracking where your leads are coming from and paying attention to this and segmenting your leads inside of your email provider and stuff like that. Because the more, again, the more information you can collect, the better your decision-making is going to be going forward, right? If you know that you're really good at converting cold leads and cold traffic, then it totally makes sense for you to double your ad budget next launch. But if you're converting warm leads at a much higher rate, then you know it's really important to grow your list with warm leads and really maybe focus on your list building efforts in the months ahead of your launch. It's all data. It's all information. Of course, you're going to want to look at your open rates and your click-through rates. We've also done an episode all about this. You know, what are the differences between an open rate and a click-through rate? How can you improve both? So I will also link to that episode in the show notes. But open rates will indicate the strength of your subject line. Click-through rates are going to indicate the strength of your sales emails, right? And just how good your sales emails are. So particularly, you know, if you are wanting to know if your own copywriting skills have improved, if you want to know if you purchased sales emails templates and you want to see, okay, how can I actually make them better and more personalized? Where are they not working for me? Or where are they really working for me? You can look at things like your click-through rates. If your open rate, you know, is 30% or below, maybe you want to try, but your click-through rate was really good. You might want to try sending that same email with a much better subject line the next time around. You're also going to want to look at which emails converted better. So it can sometimes be a little bit difficult to track and see, okay, this email led to this sale. But in general, you can see, okay, we sent an email on Monday and on Monday we had 17 sales. We sent an email on Tuesday and on Tuesday we only had 3 sales. Take a look at that and try and ask yourself, why is that? You know, is it possible if you had a much lower open rate on Tuesday than you did on Monday, that could explain why you didn't have as many sales. But if you had similar open rates across the board, the same amount of people are checking out your sales page every single day, but for some reason you converted way more people on Monday than you did on Tuesday, that automatically tells you that Monday's email was much better at converting for you. What tidbits can you take from that? Right? Was it a shorter email? Was it a longer email? Did you talk about a really particular objection? Did you talk about a really specific pain point? What is it about that email that potentially made it convert better for you? And finally, I really, really, if you haven't done this already, I highly recommend installing a heat mapping tool on your sales page or doing visitor recordings and looking at those recordings and looking at that heat map as part of your after launch process. A heat mapping tool will show you kind of where people started to drop off on your sales page or where they spent the most time. And then visitor recordings, borderline creepy, but you can't see who it actually is. You can't see anything else that they're looking at. You can't see any of their identifying information. All of the numbers are bleeped out. But a visitor recording is going to show you, oh, this is how people are actually interacting with my sales page. It looks like they're totally skipping over this section that's actually really important, or they're going straight to the pricing section, or they're really spending a lot of time looking at the deliverables. This is all information for you. And you can take that information. Again, it's super important not just to look at what it's telling you, but make suggestions for yourself on the back of that, right? So if you notice people are coming to your sales page and it looks like most people are immediately looking at the pricing, maybe you need a button at the top of your sales page that says, I don't care, skip to pricing. Something like that. Give them the information they want right from the get-go. If you've noticed that people are spending a lot of time looking at the deliverables, it tells you something. It tells you that your audience really cares about the features of your offer. So maybe you need to talk about features in your sales emails a lot more. Maybe you need to flesh out that feature section of your sales page more. Maybe you need to give them more detail, right? It's all information. And it's part science, but a lot of it is guesswork. A lot of it is trial and error. So much about launching is making a hypothesis and testing it out the next time and doing it over and over and over again. And I hope that that feels more fun than it feels daunting. But I do want to emphasize the fact that having this data, having this information, having these numbers to look at, while it might not be your strongest suit, and while it might not be the most fun part of a launch, it's absolutely crucial to making sure that we are making these hypotheses in our launches and testing these things based on factual information and not just guesswork. And that is really what's going to help you come back time and time again, improve your launches over and over and over again, and each one is going to be better than the next. So my biggest piece of advice for you, the action item on the back of today's tip, is to really figure out what you are interested in knowing about your launch strategy. What are you testing? You know, what are you trying to figure out? What do you really want to know worked versus didn't work in this particular launch? Figure that out for yourself and make sure that you are then actually setting time aside when the launch is over, when everything is done and dusted, to look at the numbers and figure it out. and have that conversation with yourself and have that conversation with your team. I promise it is one of the best things that you will ever, ever do and add to your launch process. It may feel tedious, especially if you are not a numbers person, but it is going to give you the most solid insights that you could possibly hope for. I truly hope this was helpful for you. I truly hope that this year on the podcast was helpful for you. I will be back in January with more episodes about copy, about messaging, and about launching in particular. If you celebrate this holiday season, I wish you a very happy holidays, whatever it is that you may be celebrating. I wish you a very, very happy new year, and I will see you all again in January. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Copy Dates podcast. I hope that this episode has helped you feel more confident in your ability to write copy and that you're feeling excited about sharing your message and offers with the world. If you love what you learned, be sure to hit that follow button so you never miss a future episode. And leave us a review so we can reach more online entrepreneurs who want to develop authentic connection with their audience through powerful copy. As always, don't forget to show me where you're tuning in from. Snap a pic, share it in your Instagram stories, and tag me at megantaylor.co. I'd love to connect with you beyond your headphones. See you back here next week. And remember, I'm rooting for you always.